This week on the Fifth Trooper podcast.
You're not being replaced. Don't worry about it, buddy.
He was only temporary.
I knew it was happening someday. Finally taking a swing at your old man.
Welcome to the Fifth Trooper podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Fifth Trooper podcast, a podcast about Star Wars Legion. My name is Jay Schalansky, and today I'm actually joined by two people. First and foremost, we have Evan Bulris.
How's it going?
Wait, why is he first and foremost?
Because you left the podcast.
That's true. But don't like OG props get a little,
no.
little love here?
No. You're lucky you're even here. So that third one.
I didn't even ask to be here. I showed up for something else.
So that third voice you're hearing is the one, the only, Nick Allen. You're back.
Hey, I'm back for at least one episode.
Yeah, limited time.
Again, this
only.
Was not planned.
This is just a trial.
And I'm here
period.
For a very specific reason. A trial period. If it goes well, maybe you can come back.
Yeah. We'll think about it. I gotta talk. Call my people, call your people. Well, so Nick, why are you on this podcast? Why don't you let us know here?
Well, I'm on this podcast because I walked in the door.
Fair.
And they were all set up and ready to go. And it's just like, I asked, am I going to be on this podcast? I'm like, yeah. I mean, you're interested again. You're back. But the main reason why I'm interested in Star Wars Legion again is we got something that's actually has me thinking, has me like wanting to play again. And that is the Pathfinders and Jyn.
Well, okay. So let's back up a little bit because yes. I don't know that we necessarily, I don't think I talked about this publicly on the podcast, but what happened?
Why did I stop playing?
Yeah.
So basically what happened was I had said in one of our earlier podcasts, I never played miniature games. I tried playing Warhammer. I tried playing Infinity and they weren't for me. So I started playing Legion and I liked it a lot. The rules were simplified. It was much more straightforward. So I was all in. I was in hard. Two in fact. Because I was going to tournaments, I was playing like crazy, and I burned myself out. Yeah. And I got to the point where I'm just like, I am so tired of this game. And so I walked away from everything. And it caused issues between you and I, a little heart to heart.
Yeah.
Evan's still around.
Yeah, I just replaced you with a more homeless model.
The beard keeps my face warm in the polar vortex.
No, but yeah, it's interesting. And I wanted to bring it up, not so much. It's not like a slight against Nick or anything. I think it's an interesting conversation to have because, you know, Evan and I are both, you know, we played miniature games before. We're both into that. I was heavy into Warhammer Fantasy. I even was into Infinity for a while and looking to get back into that. And so this is kind of a second nature thing to me from a miniature perspective and timing and like how long matches take. And so I think we have an expectation of that. And so I think it's just interesting to hear from your, you know, standpoint of someone who didn't play miniatures really before this and maybe talk a little bit more to, like you said, you know, you were too hard in, it was too much. So what did that mean? Like what was the difference? Because I'm sure people out there know, you know, Nick's is hard into card games like Magic. He used to play a lot of Magic. Now he plays KeyForge and you played L5R, right? And
What have I not played?
Right. Honestly. Any card game, right?
I just hard in on card games.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you brought up Magic because it's like with any game, if you're going to go in hardcore, it's like a mental fortitude thing. You had to be prepared for those in miniature games, those long matches. That level of thinking, that level of just being in the game, and it's exhausting. And I've had years and years of card games. So I can jump out of Magic and I can jump back in and play at a competitive level and it's not even it doesn't even faze me. I've actually started doing that again with Arena. Or I can jump into any other card game and it doesn't even faze me because that's familiar, the pacing, the length of the matches, all of that stuff. It doesn't have an effect on me. But miniature games, since it was a whole new thing, I mean, matches are 2 hours long. It's a different level of thinking. Like you have to sort of plan out your routes for your units. You have to sort of have an idea of how far they can move, what they can do. And it's just a lot. And it takes time and practice and playing over and over again before that kind of thing doesn't phase you. And I went in without having that sort of mental, what do I want to say here?
Longevity, maybe?
That's not the word, but
endurance,
that works.
Man.
Like, endurance, that's exactly
endurance,
the word.
Yeah.
I see the same thing when people start X-Wing. They hit like that tournament and they've played six rounds. By round four, they're like, I don't want to be here anymore. And I'm like, well, you got two more rounds, man. Like, especially yeah. with Legion, like when we go to Buffalo, it's like, what, three or four rounds?
We did three.
Like yeah. after two, I'm like, man.
Yeah.
You know, like it just, you hit that wall. But I'm the opposite of you on card games. So I've played them all. I can't keep my interest in any of them. And so I play Arena. I got into Hearthstone for a while, just the randomness, I just can't handle it.
I understand.
And then I like the game overall, though, but then Arena, and I've hit gold with this Orzhov deck, but I feel like I get frustrated in Arena, where it's like, I just feel we've got the better draw wins. Because you do the one game, there's not the two out of three when you just do the ranked match. And so I hit a wall on that, and I'm like backing off on that now. So I'm the same, like, I understand what you're going through, because I'm doing the same thing on, like, that, because I was into it really hard, found the deck I actually like playing, but now it's like, oh, he's playing Mermaids, oh, he got the perfect draw, concede. Like, it's, oh, he got the take care, concede. Like, it's just, I can't stand, but I can stand miniature games. You know, it's where I just, I feel like I don't, like, how it works, so I get it. Like, so when you said you're like, I'm good, I'm like, yeah, it happens, man, you know?
And just to clarify, you can play 2-3 now. 2 out of 3 now.
Yeah, they did add that.
Before somebody jumps on us about that.
Yeah. It's the ranked, what do they call it? There's ranked and there's ranked something else. Yeah.
There's just play and there's ranked, and then there's traditional ranked, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
And part of what you're talking about, I know what you're talking about. In the best of one matches, I play decks that always, the draws are always good.
Yeah.
Like I play mono blue and I play mono red. It's just like those decks are so consistent that I lose to my opponent's deck. I don't lose to my draw necessarily.
Yeah. So to bring it back to Legion. No, I'm just kidding. That was good. So the mental endurance, that was something that was tough. Was there anything else with the, you know, just because I'd like to be, you know, as people listen, we have some newer listeners. We have people that are, you know, will relate to what you're saying. And so I'm just trying to, you know, is there any, like, what was the other stuff, too, that was kind of turning you off a little bit?
So, again, what we talked about in a much earlier episode. So I didn't buy into this game. Jay bought into this game. And I sort of tagged along. And so because of that, I picked up Rebels. And I have a play style. I don't know how it actually translates to miniatures. I didn't really find that out. But the play style of Rebels is not my play style.
Yeah.
I feel like they want to be. Like, they want to be aggressive, but then they just die. Mm-hmm. Like, they feel like when you're playing them and the way they shoot, they feel very class cannony. Like, you should be just going in and you should just be shooting things up. But in reality, when you actually play like that, they just end up dying, because the way this game works, and I'm sure this is how most miniature games work, is you go in and you shoot, and you don't actually kill enough units to make that kind of strategy viable.
Right.
Especially when you're playing against Empire and they're rolling red dice.
Yeah, that's what I'm finding with Jay. So I decided to go Rebels because I was kind of bored of Imperial.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had a wall you did with it. When the game first came out and there was like just the core set plus two vehicles, and we played all the time. I was so sick of this game. Because, like, it was just a Rebel units, and you know, they used Wonder Twins, and I had Veers, right? I'm just like, man, this has to... But now, like, we'll get into them in a bit, but, like, Pathfinders and Jin. So they give you options to actually, like, try to play a little bit of that mind game. Like, where am I going to put these guys? Because I play Chewie and Han. That's what I always wanted to play. And I'm so sick of dice hitting blocks. You make that... You're right, you go up, you attack, you don't get anything. So everything in my army has Pierce. Yep. I'm like, at least I get one. You know, like, that's the thing. Like, at least when I throw dice.
Yeah.
And so my expectation now is for them to block everything. And I'm like, well, at least Han got two of them. But I get Han, I get real aggressive with him because Gunslinger 2, I'm like, I can remove 4 models a turn if I get him, like, right where I want him. And Chewie can just take all the damage, right? Like, so, but then Chewie just gets evaporated.
Yeah.
Because he blocks on just blocks, not Surge. So he just eats it, right? And then with Jin, Jin's like looking like, because she can get in there and she's a danger sense and so she can add up the rerolls. And so I think there's finally leading to my, I'm saying with, I want to go there and I want to fight. Like, because everything's range two with them. So like the fleet troopers, like they have the shotgun, which is two red to a pierce.
Mm-hmm.
They're only range two. So you want it, you have to like bring the fight to them. That's what I thought. Anyway, I'm learning that it might be the other way around. But with these new units, I'm hoping, because I think we have the same idea how we want to play them.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been playing them with what is out as of yesterday. I haven't picked up my new stuff yet. And I've been, like, Jay's been beating me pretty good. And, you know, Jay's a good player with a good list. So when I lose, I ask why. You know, I'm never like, oh, my dice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my white dice didn't roll perfect shields every time I rolled them. It's like, well, I put Han in a real bad spot. You know, like he had like eight shots on him. I'm like, well, I had a reckless diversion and thought I could make it. Nope, just couldn't. So I see how, like when you're talking about how you want to play them, that's how I'm playing them now. I'm just getting like wiped out.
Yep.
So I'm hoping these will also bring me some good vibes.
And I always plan to come back to the game.
Yeah.
And I've been interested in coming back for a while, but there's nothing in the game that's interested me in coming back. Like Wookiees and what else has come out for the Empire? For
Royal
the
Guard. Rebels. Oh, Rebels. No.
Wookiees, Chewie.
The guns.
Yeah.
Commander, the guns. You missed like three or four expansions.
That 1.4 laser cannon.
Oh, the laser cannon. No, yeah. None of these things interested me at all.
Yeah.
Like the laser cannon doesn't move. The Wookiees are interesting, but didn't do it. Chewie, I had no interest in. Oh. I had no interest in playing Super Friends.
Yeah, and then the generic commanders that just came out.
I'm liking the game more, though. There's more stuff, but like when it first came out, I hit that. I was like, geez, like I'm so desperate. And they released the one, like one team gets a sniper, the other doesn't. I'm like, oh my god, just give me stuff, I'll buy it. I'm a consumer, let me have it. But now that there's so much stuff out, like there's actually, when you run to a list, you like, oh, you're playing that? You know, it's not, because the game doesn't really have a meta. Like, there's no, like an X-Wing, there's a list.
Yep.
Not yet. The open I'm going to.
Well, because 2.0 just.
Yeah. Well, not even that. It's the points redux, and there hasn't been a big tournament. So this Toronto tournament will define the meta.
Yeah.
But right now, there is none. And that's the best time to play a game. Like, Legion hasn't really had a meta for a year.
Yeah, it's real interesting, too, because we'll talk about meta, and then I have some more questions for Nick. But, like, you know, the meta is strange because even though we just went to LVO and Kyle from Orchimedes from our sister podcast, Notorious Scoundrels, and from his blog, Never Tell Me the Odds, he's been busting out all the numbers from LVO, like what we saw, what lists. And it looks like the meta this isn't the meta in general. This is just what was at LVO that was popular.
Yep.
Was Veer's Boba list and Wonder Twins list. Those were the two popular lists. But those weren't necessarily the best list. Like, there was Notorious Scoundrels this week had a guy on, Joe DePinto. He went 5-0 with a Pelp list, like a ridiculous Pelp list with, like, and he had the healing droids.
Two healing droids.
Yeah, yeah.
Pelp. Just moving them up.
And he went 5-0. Like, so, and there was only two Pelp players at LVO. So it's just, I think the problem is, And this was my kind of, and I'm going to kind of twist this into a question for you, Nick, is do you feel like there wasn't enough stuff, or do you feel like there was, well, maybe when you slid out, there wasn't enough stuff, but I feel like now there's enough stuff where there's all these wacky combinations that I think people aren't seeing or thinking about. And then you see one pop up at a place like this, and maybe it's too much for people now because you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but people have options now.
Yeah.
And this sort of segues into something else I wanted to say is like, okay, I didn't want to play any of the Rebel stuff that was coming out. Well, why didn't you play Imperials? It's like, cause basically everyone's playing Imperials and I don't want to play the same thing as everybody else is playing. And this is the same thing. It's just like, when you have more options, I think it would bring more people in because then you'll see different lists and you're not just playing the same thing and playing against the same thing every single time. There's room to like do your own thing and find your own style of play. Where before there really wasn't.
Yeah.
You had Wonder Twins and you had like Veer's Boba and Vader.
Yep.
Veer's Bikes.
Yeah. And Veer's Bikes for a while.
Right. Yeah, it's just interesting to me because, because I'm trying to like equate it to myself because Nick's known me a very long time. I like move in and out of games like it's nobody's business. Like I'll pick up
you and me both.
Yeah, both of us. But you know, I'll pick up a game. Nick and I will play it hard for a while. I'll be like, I love this game, and then I'll be like, I don't love this game anymore because it just doesn't interest me anymore. And it's really odd because. You know, maybe it's because we have the podcast. Maybe it's because we're so involved in the community and stuff. But for some reason, I literally could play Legion every day. I can play every day. I have no problem with that. Like every day I can play and I love it every day.
Well, part of it is that the reason why we would jump in and out of games is we would get to that competitive layer.
Yeah.
And there just wasn't a scene for it.
Yeah, that's true too.
And this game, you've been so hard in on and we were both so hard in on that we created a scene.
Yeah.
So having that layer of competitiveness in this game that we really like brings a stronger challenge to it, and it makes us more invested. And I think that's what was missing from other games and what is here for this game and why I've wanted to get back into it and why I've wanted to play again.
Yeah. And I was thinking too, like one of the questions I was asking myself besides that, like why haven't I gotten sick of this? And I wonder too, is it because... So early on, you know, if you've listened, we're on episode 27. So if you've listened for the last 27 weeks, you kind of know what Nick was playing early on, and you know, Evan, you know, you were playing mm-hmm. with us. Nick kind of stuck with a list. Like he picked a list, he put it together, he was good with it, and he just stuck with it. I think the difference was right now I'm running a list that I've been running it that I ran at LVO that I've been running for probably a good month. And a half now, maybe a month. This is the longest I've ever run a list. Well, it's more than that. It's almost 2 months. This is the longest I've ever run a single list. I've made small adjustments to it, but I love this list. I'm good at it. It's a good list for me. But leading into that list, I mean, you guys know how many times
all over the place.
I change my list every week. I just couldn't find something that made any sense to me
mm-hmm.
As a person, as a player. So maybe that's why I didn't get burnt out?
No, sure. I mean, I love the ATST, it's real bad now. It's so bad. And, you know, we'll talk about this probably in another podcast. But my hint is, like, I think the DLT is really limits design space for vehicles, especially. Because it's 1-4, 2 red, and you run, like, 6 of them. Right? This isn't, like, this isn't a special grenade launcher that your rebel unit takes to do one shot. So, like, if I brought the ATSD, it died. Or you ignored it. It didn't matter.
Right.
Either if you wanted to kill it, it died. And if you just didn't care that I was getting shot, I would shoot at you. And it just doesn't have enough, like, variance control to make that damage happen. So I'm like, 3. And they would take, heavy cover 2 and block the 1. So I've got, like, a 200-point unit not doing anything. So I'm like, okay, ATSD, put you on the shelf for a while. So I was lost for a while in Imperial, so I went back to Veer's bikes.
Well, like, just real quick, sorry, I just want to qualify that because a lot of people at home or who play elsewhere are going to say that doesn't make any sense. And here's why it's a terrain issue.
Oh, for the ATST?
For the ATST. So we play on pretty good terrain locally. Yeah. I have good terrain here. Personally, our local store has very good terrain. So there's a lot more places to hide and like get cover and,
I guess so.
And line of sight issues. Where I think most people, like, if, like, go back to Nova, like, the ATST could clean up at Nova because there wasn't really a ton of,
but
you
it
know.
Doesn't surge, man. So, like, right. You get that, that train being aside, I've played a lot of ATST.
Yeah.
Sometimes you throw and you just get 2 hits with the red dice. Sometimes you throw and you get 6.
Now,
there's no, like, consistency
to change this, I think that new pilot that's coming with the tank, where every time you make a standard move action, you get an aim token.
That helps.
So I think that's going to change the conversation a little bit.
As long as he does go into the ATST as well.
He does. It says ground vehicle.
Okay.
Imperial ground vehicle.
But good. I hope it does.
So all the pilots, I was looking at like Wedge. So Wedge is repulsor, rebel repulsor vehicle. So he can go in that land speeder.
Yeah.
I don't know if he would. But it looks like the tank and the land speeder both come with 2 pilots.
Okay.
So it's going to be interesting to see what the secondary pilot does. I'm saying, I guess part of it is, though, I see what you're saying with the ATST, with DLTs. Yeah, you can't.
Well, let me finish my thought
on
that.
Go ahead.
So
They hold, like, DLTs, again, we'll talk about that another time, how I really hate that card. After loving it and using it, and being on the other side of it, just getting pummeled by it, I'm like, wow, that thing's miserable.
Yeah, you cannot play ATRTs.
No, yeah, they just go.
They just melt.
They're like, because they... Again, sorry, I'm getting off topic.
No, we got plenty of time. Get off as many topics as you want here.
All right, so let's talk about the DLT.
Yeah.
And it is the reason to play Stormtroopers. Because you don't take the... Why take the rocket launcher? Mm-hmm. Give me a good reason to.
Dude, I'm with you. I remember I tried playing it at a tournament. It was miserable.
I have those. The model looks great, man. It's got a little rocket launcher on his back. I want to use that guy. I've got six of them like on my shelf of never going to use stuff that I've just got covered in dust. DLT doesn't tap. You just shoot it every turn. It kills everything really well. And then for vehicles, everyone's like, well, you know, my airspeeder stinks. Yeah, because DLTs exist. Imagine if you had to tap every time you had to shoot that thing.
Right. It'd be a different game.
Yeah, then you get that one pass and you keep going. And then now they have to, like, take an action to reload it. Like, they can't move and shoot it. It's... I hate that card now.
So... So a way to fix this... that doesn't take anything away or changes anything is you just add more good heavy options.
Yeah.
That's the best way to do it. If you have more, and realistically these troopers need it. Yeah. It'd be really nice to have like four options for heavy troopers for just your basic stormtroopers or your basic rebel troopers.
Cause right now it's black and white.
Even if just two of them are good and you want to take two of them, that is going to mix up the armies and that's going to take away from the DLT. Yeah. And you can bring back the ATST. And then you're going to get a meta game going because then it's just like, okay, everybody's playing ATST. So you bring in all the DLTs, ATSTs go away.
Yeah.
Then you bring in this other unit because, well, ATSTs aren't showing up in the meta. And that's how a meta game works.
It's a real problem for like any of those cards that are anti-vehicle. Yeah. I mean, with the tank coming out, I'm sure that'll swap it up. But as of today, like if you're going to Adepticon, I don't believe any of the new vehicles will be out.
No, it's out. Barely, Krennic and the Death Troopers may just make it, but I doubt it.
So like the Rebel Grenade Launchers, two red, Ion Impact one tap.
Yeah.
1 to 3. You're like, okay. The Snow Trooper gun is considered the worst gun in the game. All right, like it's tap. The Fleet Trooper gun, tap. Right, it's all these like they're supposed to be killing a vehicle is supposed to be a commitment. Yep. That's how they make it like, oh, you're going to do this big, powerful thing to stop that vehicle?
Yeah.
Action. DLTs? Nah. Like, that's why I don't, it bothers me with them. Just because when I used them, I didn't really think about it. I'm like, oh, that thing? Well, I've got six, when I played Veer's Bikes, you're just like six of these and three bikes and they all have impact, right? So I just see a vehicle and I'm like, oh, you brought a snow speeder? Okay. Right? Or an ATSD? I'm like, that's gone in two turns. And that's why, because when I'm playing them, I use those as my anti-vehicle. So they're my anti-infantry and my anti-vehicle. And they're like 22 points? 24
DLT's 24.
Yeah, it's like one of the cheapest unit. I think add-on is, not including like specialist robot droid, things like that, is like 22 for the Z6. And I would have a DLT any day over a Z6. Yeah. Like not even a question.
It makes me wonder, you know, because we've never asked this question. We've always asked about the airspeeder and like why it's terrible, right? Like it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But we never really ask, why are those tap cards terrible too? And there's got to be something that we're missing here because it just doesn't make, don't make any sense to how, the way the meta's rolling out and the way, like after talking to Luke in that interview, and it sounds like they really do well testing with these. It's just like, that don't make it. Like, why are these things so terrible? Why does it's
not? Well, I think it's everything both of you are saying and it all sort of wraps together. Developers are not infallible. They make mistakes. Yep. And the DLT is probably too strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe it should have been a black dice instead of a red die. Or maybe it should have been two black dice instead of a red die. Because that red die basically
it's
always
too hits. Red. Yeah, it's too red.
And the other thing is that vehicles aren't strong enough. And this goes to your pilots maybe improving them. It's just like you need a reason to bring a vehicle to the table. It needs to be super impactful and it needs to do something. And right now we don't have vehicles that do that. If you give people reason to bring vehicles, people will bring things to counter those vehicles, like those tap cards.
Yep.
But when you have the DLT, which is amazing at taking out vehicles and taking out troops, why would you ever play those tap cards?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I want vehicles. I get it's a troop game. I get it's always meant to be a troop game.
Right.
That's cool. but I like vehicles. And I'm not saying I'm going to play like a 40K like parking lot where I'm like, and five tanks enter the battlefield. You know, I just want, if you bring a tank, like as an infantry guy, you should be terrified. Like in bolt action on the Tiger tanks, there's a thing they can get called Tiger Fear where they just won't even go near it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're like, yeah, no, that's no thanks. So in like an AT-ST should be scary. Right, like in the movies, they see when they're like, "Oh, the Ewoks, forget them."
To be fair, I was gonna say, to be fair, yeah, a bunch Ewoks, of little bears took them down.
The Ewoks, forget
them. Are they that good?
And like, even like, take a video game like Battlefront 2. Like, someone gets an AT-ST, you're like, "Oh crap!" You know, like we got to deal with this. We got to like spawn a rocket launcher, right? Like, they should be scary, but like in Legion, you can either just ignore it if it's not like, if you just take an AT-ST, you're like, "Nah, then we'll deal with it when we need to," or they just immediately like gun it down.
Yeah,
and you're like, well, 200 points, just like yep. Toileted. Like, I want the Snowspeeder to be good. I want these things. They don't have to be like, when you put them down and I'm like, oh crap, I didn't bring like 13 rocket launchers. What am I going to do? You know, it should be like, but it still should be like, when you're building your list, you're like, well, what should I bring in case I do bring a thing? So you just bring like, maybe like two of your Rebel Trooper guys have grenade launchers. Or maybe that's like one and you hope the Ion can like control it, right? Like, you just have to think of it, because now I don't even think about anti-vehicle. I'm just like, my guys will deal with it. If I went today, I'd probably take an Imperial Army, just because I'm more familiar with them, and I'd just bring like the Veers bikes, and God help them, they bring a vehicle. Right? It's just so many impact.
Yeah, not just the DLT, right, but the impact grenades, right? You throw a couple of those on snowies.
That's a smart, that's an interesting choice, because right now frags are the default good grenade.
Yes.
Because they just search crit, the red dice, they just evaporate troops, and you're mostly going to be playing troops. But right when, before frags came out, people are taking impact. A, it gave your snow troopers a black die. That's fine. But blast could have been arguably better because it just gets real cover.
Right, but with the reason, the way it worked out, right, is because the flame trooper already gives you blast. So when you get your unit up there with the other black dice, you're now, like if you roll up to a full enemy unit, you're rolling 10 black dice with blast and impact. It's like, what?
Oh, I guess in general. Like,
it's called synergy.
Yeah. I guess if you're going to do like let's say you just have stormtroopers.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, they need something. So if you threw like impact grenades on, you're like, all right, these are my tank hunters. Right? Their job, they see a vehicle and they just harass it.
No, I think with the two new vehicle units they announced, they both look okay.
Oh, yeah, good.
I have a feeling there's going to be more. And I really have a strong feeling, based on the keywords for the tank and the land speeder, that when they come out with the droids and the clone armies, that there's going to be more transport and it's going to be crazy. Like, I think it's going to get vehicle heavy when the new factions come out.
I think there will be points in the game where it's vehicle heavy, and then, but I think the default will to not be vehicle heavy, since it's, like you said, not really a vehicle game.
Yeah,
and that's fine. But like, if you do commit, because you can make an AT-ST like 250 points. Like, if you put that much into it, I should have to like consider it, right? I'd be like, how am I gonna deal with this in the match? Not, he'll use Weiss once, and
Your default unit shouldn't be able to just take that out.
Yeah,
if like, it's faced with it, should. If you commit that much to like the DLTs, there should be some sort of consequence, and there is no consequence right now. Yeah. They're just always good.
And I don't think they're ruining the game. You know, don't let my rant like say doom and gloom, like get rid of this or the game's gonna be bad. But that's when I play as a Rebel player now, seeing the other side, because this was the first game I said I was just going to buy one side, and that's, it saves me money, because next week I just buy everything because I like all the stuff and I like little spaceships to push around my table. But now I'm like, well, man, Han looks like a lot of fun. I want to play Han and Chewie. So I bought Rebels, and I'm feeling the effect of what I've been doing to people all the time. It's like the Family Guy was dude stabbed somebody's like, oh, is that what I've been doing to people? Like, that's, I'm like, wow, this is miserable. Like, I'm trying to use Fleet Troopers, and I'm just, like, I played Jay the other night, and he's like, five hits, and I'm like, okay, they're all dead. All right, this is it, right? Like, I'm seeing what the other side is.
Yeah.
And God bless, man. Anybody who does, like, who really knows Rebels, like, you're better than me.
Well, and that's, so I'm going to reverse that back into the conversation we're having with Nick, because, like Nick said, he is more of an aggressive aggro player, and the more I've been playing since you've been off the podcast, and the more I've seen good Rebel players, is they play them way more reserved than you ever did, right? Yep, and so that's something.
And I'm the more I played them, the more reserved I became.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it still wasn't, it wasn't enough.
Yeah, like, and I think just more recently have I seen people really play them correctly with Nimble, using line of sight, like making their opponent come to them,
yep,
sort of stuff. Being less, even with Luke, even though Luke's a highly aggressive, versatile unit, being less aggressive with him and pulling him back a little bit and making better choices. And I think, to, you know, I got yelled at for saying this, but I'm going to say it again because I believe it. I think that the Rebels is a thinking man's army. Like, I think you've got to be calculated. You've got to be two steps ahead of your opponent to play Rebels correctly so that you're not getting diced up.
Mm-hmm.
Where I feel like Empire has some room for variation there, where I can make
room for mistakes.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. I can make a mistake and leave a unit hanging, and they're not necessarily going to get diced up the way a Rebel unit would.
That's exactly how I feel about them. Now, who yelled at you?
I don't remember.
The internet.
The internet?
I'm sure it was whole internet.
To your point there, even Luke Eddy was like, yeah, like, you know, Stormtroopers can be a little more brazen with because they got red dice. And maybe they just don't get wiped out. Like, yep. I've had times on both sides where I've just, someone's like, six hits in your Stormtroopers. I'm like, well, how many am I losing? Oh, none. You know, like, it's, I'll just take my one suppression. Okay, now I'm going to shoot back. You know, like, it's, so, yeah, I think it's, I don't think if one is intrinsically easier, but I do think that, like, Empire, you can, like, make a mistake. Like with Rebels, if you get a troop out of cover, like, you just didn't make it, or, like, you're like, oh, crap, that line of sight's real good, they're dead. Like, it's just...
Yep.
How many do I lose when I get shot?
Yeah, and I didn't want to make it sound like it's easy. I just meant it's just more...
To your point.
Forgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's just way more, I think, to Rebels than most people expect when they start playing Rebels.
No, I completely agree with you.
Right, and like, someone who's just starting to play Rebels...
Yeah, man, it feels real bad.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, okay, so Nick, back to... Now, let me ask you this. With the potential of you getting back into it...
Yep.
So, like Nick said, I basically bought all in. I have every unit, multiple of every unit for both factions. And Nick was just using mine, and I like the hobby aspect of it too, and the, putting the models together, painting them, you know.
Well, I think that's the other part
that I was missing,
is that I was just playing. I was not into the hobby thing. And I talked about with you about how...
He's pointing at Evan, by the way.
Yeah. Well, you were so a miniatures game is a full-on, fully dedicated hobby. You
ownership.
Need to own the army. You need to paint the army. You need to be just dedicated on all fronts to really
get the most out of it.
Get the most out of your investment, but really to also feel like you are the most invested.
Yep.
Is, I guess, the best way to put it.
Yeah, we actually, a few episodes ago, we actually had an interview with War Corgi, and he was saying the same thing. Like, people who he believes, in his estimation, is that people who fully paint and, like, put all this effort into their minis and getting them table ready are actually going to be better players because they have a higher level of investment into the game.
And because they're more than just pieces of plastic, then.
Right.
Like, you've committed to this. It means something to you. You would prefer it didn't die, so maybe you're going to play better.
That's fair. The old slot bucket Evan's in trouble here. Things aren't looking good for him.
So do you think you have it? Do you think you have what it takes to really get to really get into this? And to,
absolutely. To just not with the current armies that are out right now.
Right.
It's just like once they introduce... the Galactic Republic, which they've teased but they haven't announced anything yet. It's like one of my favorite things about Star Wars is Jedi. Guess where all the Jedi live?
Yep.
They live in the Galactic Republic.
Yeah.
Yep.
So like if I get to play with Obi-Wan, and we're not talking old man Obi-Wan, we're not talking about old Ben, we're talking about like armored up Clone Wars Obi-Wan, I'm in.
So we're going to go on this. If they released a new starter, what are your two generals in it? Dream box, just whatever you feel like would be really cool to like get in a starter for like the
two new factions.
Yeah, the two new factions.
Obi-Wan and Grievous.
Okay, yeah, that's mine. That's mine too, if I had to do it.
I mean, you could go Anakin, but like really, like if you watch not Revenge of the Sith, but if you watch like the Clone Wars cartoon, it's just like the big sort of like nemesis versus villain versus hero, it's Obi-Wan and Grievous.
Yeah.
And so correct. I feel like that should be exactly. I haven't even watched the whole series.
That's good.
But I know that's exactly who should be in it.
There's so many cool characters in it, right? Like,
well, then you add Anakin and then you add Yoda.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because X-Wing is hitting the Galactic Republic and the clones and the Separatists. So anything they do, like, that's almost free game for what they could do with, you know, ideas for a Legion. I'm so pumped. Like, if they just made it like a hero army, or maybe you just have six dudes and they're all Jedi, but they're all, like, super good, that'd be cool. Like, I don't know. Why not?
Yeah. I assume Gen Con is probably...
Probably Adepticon, actually. That's what I'm thinking. Because FFG announced a big...
No, not for the announcement, for it to actually come out.
Oh, come out, maybe. Their big announcement, they're doing a live stream Thursday, I want to say, where they're on the stage announcing X-Wing Armada. And I love you, Armada. Please come back.
Yeah.
our X-Wing Armada and Legion. I think... So this is the first time they've... They said this last time when they did the big 2.0 X-Wing, and then they said Legion's going to get... Well, they announced Legion at Gen Con, but this is kind of... Their announcement was the same they did for when they announced all that stuff, so I think we might... Adepticon might become their new miniatures, like, where they push all their miniature games there.
And
they
makes
save,
sense.
Like, Gen Con for, like, L5R and Destiny and, like, all their card games and board games that they don't... Like, that's more of that, right? Gen Con, to me, is more of a game kind of place, and Adepticon's more of, like, your miniature gaming.
Sure.
I'm not, like, going to Adepticon to play, like, you know, Castles of Mad King Ludwig. I'm going there to play...
So maybe you're thinking that announcement at Adepticon... release when they normally release games, which is like generally October-ish.
Yeah, and they're doing like it's the first time they've done something else too. They're doing you go there and you can only get a certain paint job for a droid bomber for X-Wing.
I saw that. That was cool.
Which is cool if you get to go, like this guy does. but it's the first time they've done that too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're really going to start making like Adepticon their like big miniature, like this is where you go if you want to play X-Wing or Legion, more Legion than X-Wing. Legion game. They might even do like custom sculpts because they're doing the different arms eventually. This is all theory crafting, at least all the extra stuff. But it'd be really interesting if they broke it down to like you go to Adepticon to play their miniature games, right? This is their like their hub. So I'm thinking if I'm gonna go speculate here, probably get like see the new box set they might release. That's a big thing, right? The starter. Let's to show like what's coming in it, and then they'll do some like you can expect this, and they'll answer a couple questions very vaguely. What's the next Jedi we're gonna get? And the next question, right? Like it's so I think that's probably what if I'm gonna guess, I'd bet $1 Carillion on the.
Yeah, it'll be. It's interesting. And here's what I'm wondering, because a lot like you were speculating, like October for the core set release, or roughly. My only problem with that is I feel like it needs to be sooner. Because I feel like what's going to happen is the two current factions are going to get too far ahead, and then it's going to take you another year to catch up with the newer factions. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
that's the problem they have in X-Wing right now is like the new factions, like Resistance has 4 ships you can play, and Empire has like, or Scum has like 20, you know, like, but that's when they do... They might introduce, so X-Wing to solve that, they do the hyperspace format where it's only stuff they've released over a certain time, like a limited. I don't think they need to do that with Legion. They might just say, hey, here's a bunch of stuff, like go crazy. But yeah, I can see the same problem because if you're like, man, I can't wait for these droids, and you've got droids, super battle droids, and the tank that carries them, and that's it, you know.
Well, it could be, it possibly, if it Adepticon becomes their miniature things, it could be that they announce... have for sale, and then 2 months later it's released.
Yeah, they do that, yeah.
With Adepticon for the two new factions.
Because, I mean, I'm just thinking about it. Like, if we look at it objectively, right, you have two more commanders and two more specialist units coming out in the next 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Today, tomorrow, Jyn Pathfinders, and then next month is Krennic and the Death Troopers. Then you're going to have the Land Speeder and... the tank, which are the next ones. I don't know if they're going to come out in the same month or if they're going to separate those.
We got the downed ATSD before that too.
No. So you have Sabine and then Bossk, which are after the tank and Landspeeder, and then the downed ATSD.
Okay.
So the question is, you now have two operatives, four commanders?
I believe so.
And it'll be four commanders for both factions, two operatives for both factions, two cores, three types of specialists, and two support and two vehicles by this time. Now, in our interview, Luke Eddie had, you know, he kind of lit the internet on fire a little bit by saying that his favorite list to play is Krennic, Death Troopers, three E-Webs, and six other units he couldn't tell us about.
Interesting.
So those are core units.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or at least
some combination. At least three core units.
At least three core units, right? Yeah. So they already have plans for another set of core units for this. So my concern is that, and maybe they don't care.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm the only one that cares, is that, okay, if October is a release, or even if this summer, if July is a release for the core set for the two new factions, they're going to need to start pumping out stuff pretty quickly if they're ever going to be a viable faction.
Assuming that the core set is going to be one core set, both factions. Also be the two factions. Each gets their own core set, and each one has, you know, a vehicle or two vehicles, two core units, two or three commanders, and then just a whole bunch of stuff.
I feel like if they're going to make the most money that they want to make out of this, they're going to do it the same way they did this.
This is true.
They're going to do it just like this. It's going to be the core set 2.0, and it's going to be the two factions, and then you're going to have to upgrade outside of that.
Because that's what they, to your point, Nick, not that I don't, because that's what I think they're actually going to do, Jay.
Yeah.
But to your point, like for X-Wing is the only thing I have to compare from InterGames on this, because it's just what it is. So the Grand Republic and the Separatists each get their own starter just for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It comes with a Jedi Starfighter, two of the whatevers, I don't remember from the movie, for the Grand Republic, and then two droid fighters, and like Greaves' core ship, whatever that was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm great with names on these. But they're like $40, and you buy like two of those, and you're gold for most of the armies. So, I mean, I could also see it, because who are they? It's tough, because everyone says, well, I'll get into Legion when there's more armies, right? So do they release just a one that's got, like you said, like a tank, a leader, an operative, and a bunch of guys? Or do you do the box and... But to, like, that stinks as a guy who doesn't want to collect four armies.
Here's what I bet you they do. I'll bet you I'll put $20 on it right now.
$20 million.
Put real money on this, boy.
Oh gosh.
It's gonna be a core set. It's gonna have a commander. It's gonna have core units, and it's gonna have a support unit, like the speeder bikes or an ATRT. Then what they're gonna do is they're gonna release the double, you know, the two factions.
Yep.
Then you will be able to buy boxes of core units, so you can get your full six core units and more support like you could with the bikes and the ATRTs. Yeah. Those will all release at once, I think. Then they'll put out an announcement for the next month, or a month or two later will be whatever they're heavy, because that's how they did the first core set.
Yeah, no, I...
That's how they're going to make their money.
Yeah, I get it. And that's
what they're about. Let's not... Like, I love how everybody... out there, like, kids themselves here, like, okay, maybe Luke Eddie loves this game and wants this game to be pure, and, you know, maybe he has a pure heart. He seems like a nice guy. He seems like he has a pure heart. But it's a friggin' business. Let's not kid ourselves. Yep. And they want to make money. They don't give a rat's booty what you think about the, not you guys, but you, us, the general you.
Just Evan.
Just Evan. He told me, Luke told me, he said, I don't like Evan, and I don't care what he thinks.
I don't care.
But they don't care what we think about how they make their money.
No.
Yeah. Like, they'll change rules, because I think the guys who, you know, Luke and Alex and everybody who's in charge of the rules are smart and listen to the community and will change it. But the marketing PR machine... That is any business. This isn't a slight to them. It's just a business decision. And they're going to do what makes sense for their business to make sure they continue to have money coming in. And we can wish on a cracker here and wish they would do something that would be nice for the community. But they're just not. They're going to do what makes sense for their business.
I remember there was a time I used to hate Fancy Flight. Like, I thought they'd buy up small companies, like small games, and just dissolve them. And I'm like, they're the Walmart of This was back, this was like 10 years ago, I think. Back when I thought Z-Man games, like, I really loved all the other guys who have a good game. Fantasy Flight would come in, buy it, make it them. And the, so Fantasy Flight had a dark time with, like, board games where they'd repurpose something. They'd do the Fantasy Flight Cavern, I'd call it, which is just the board that's no pockets to hold anything. It's just pretty much an empty box with the pieces jammed in there. And it would be, like, an all right game.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be like, well, you'd see the Fantasy Flight logo, be like, well, it's like McDonald's. You're like, yeah, it's going to be okay if I buy it. Not great, but
oh, so it's like the EA of video
games. It used to be like that. Now they've been they've kind of taken a 180 for me, where I, when I see their name on something, I'm like, oh, I should probably check that out. So I wonder, like,
well, it comes back to Jay's point. It's just like Fantasy Flight makes really good games, mm-hmm. because good games sell better than bad games.
It's true. That's 100% true.
Well, and I think the other thing too we have to realize is, you know, the House of Mouse is behind this now, and so everything has to run through them as well. And so I'm sure
Rest in peace, Netrunner.
Release schedules and costs and pricing, it all goes through House of Mouse on this as well, because they got to pay royalties for everything they do, which means they got to approve it, which I'm fine with, because it keeps everything in continuity. Everything feels like it's all part of the same world. I'm okay with it. But we just have to remind ourselves of this. They're not like us, okay? Like, maybe some of the people that work there are like us, who are love games and want to make games, but that they're part of the marketing corporate machine, man, and they got to make money. I sound like a hippie. Hey, man, they're part of the corporate machine, and I mean, they're here for your money.
Which is ironic, because you are so corporate.
Yeah.
They're Asmodee, right? It's basically right. Asmodee. Like, yep. They're, like, but, you get these little start. No, you're right, though. To your point, like, they'll never be like a AEG or something, who's still like, it's a big name in board games, but no one cares, right? Like, it's not like a, like, they don't own the Star Wars license, right? They don't own Game of Thrones license. They don't own the big names. They make their own stuff, but I love all this stuff, but yeah, like, it's, they just don't own all the stuff I like.
But and okay, so that's like the dark side of that. So the realistic side of that is, and why you should be okay with this, is because from a business plan and a business standpoint, right, they need to have longevity. So you create longevity by creating want in your customers. And so the longer we can stream this stuff out and say, oh, okay, your factions are going to be better in 6 months when we get you these other vehicles and stuff, it's better for all of us, because the game's going to stick around. You know, they're going to sell more. Like, it's good. It's a good thing overall if you love this game. But just don't think that they're going to do us any favors by putting a full core set together of just one faction. They're absolutely not going to do that.
And we're all talking from a competitive standpoint. They've flat out said that, you know, this game is for all different kinds of customers.
Yeah.
And people who just want to play Jedis and Clone Troopers, they're going to get exactly what they want.
Yep.
They won't have everything, but they won't care, because they're going to be able to push all we want around the table and cut people up.
I think we were talking about that with the Downed ATST. Were we podcasting about that?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Where it's like, I'll probably never use it.
Right.
Because it's made for casual play.
Yep.
It's Downed ATST. It actually has acts. Like, there's a first act you play through.
Mm-hmm. So it comes with its own objectives, deployments, all this stuff.
Oh, I thought it was just a piece of terrain.
No, it is.
I didn't actually look
into it. Welcome back.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's mostly what I'll be using it for. But it's a piece of terrain, but then it has, you set up the board a certain way. One person has to play Empire, one person has to play Rebels, and there's another act they haven't spoiled yet. So you go through like the first part, and then at some point something changes where you go through the next, like, you have to get objectives like this now. That's super
cool.
So
it's Black Hawk Down, but Star Wars.
Yeah, it's very much so.
Yeah. I think they're getting into the storytelling side too, because I think what they're finding, if I had to guess, educated guess here, is as big of a deal as the, like what you were just saying, as big of a deal as the competitive side is to mm-hmm. us, and as we, like, that's all we're focused on for the most part. I mean, we try to do a little bit more. But I think what they're finding is that their sales outmatch what the competitive response is. It doesn't make any sense, because no one's outplaying at stores or going to these big tournaments. You know, I mean, we're getting people, but it's the same.
Well, really, it's every game is like that. The casual scene is what really funds it, not the competitive scene.
Right.
It's just they sort of become symbiotic, where the competitive scene influences and inspires the casual scene and makes them buy more. So that's why the competitive scene is important. And then for Star Wars Legion, the competitive scene is what creates podcasts like this, which is content for casual people to eat up and keep them invested in the game.
Yeah.
So you have to cater to both. But really, the money comes from the casual people.
No, right. Sure, and that's what the ATST is for. Like, I looked at it, and I wasn't like, "Gar, that's not for me. I'll never buy it." Like, I'll buy it, and I might play it, but just because, like, we're prepping for Adepticon, then Nova is a few months out after that. Like, right. We're going to be playing a lot of tournaments. It's just what we do, right? It's just what we do.
Yeah, and it's interesting. So I guess I just wanted to make, like, I could be 100% wrong here, but I believe they're going to do the same release schedule as they did with the first
wave. You're probably right. I mean, if history tells us anything.
Maybe not exactly the same. They might get, like, a big upfront injection of those two factions, but then they'll draw it out.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so we're almost done with the podcast, but I did want to get to this bit. We're not going to get as deep into Jin and the Pathfinders as I wanted to, but that's okay.
Yeah. We got distracted.
The whole reason...
It's my fault, I'm back.
Yeah, jeez. I blame Nick. You're out again! So the whole reason Nick's actually on is not just because he walked through the door, but the last, few weeks, you've been kind of teasing me, saying that, hey, with Jin and the Pathfinders, I think I might get back in now. And so what about...
Because I'm inspired. There's something that Rebels does really well, but it's really hard to pull off. It's just like once the Rebel troopers have a foothold, they're really hard to uproot. Mm-hmm. And the problem is it's really hard for them to get that foothold. Well, if you just get to place them wherever you want to on the board, you don't have to worry about that part. So the idea is you take Jin and the Pathfinders together because you need some sort of force, and you place them like on an objective or in some key area, and then you bring up the rest of your troops to support them. You have a foothold, you reinforce that foothold. That's a good strategy. Now, the problem is if this is a good strategy for everybody, then bidding comes into play because you're going to want to be a blue player. Yeah. You're going to want to go first so you can play first, so you can place your troopers anywhere you want to and don't have to worry about that three range.
Yep. I think my list had like a 793. Yeah. I thought that was kind of deep because that's a couple upgrades that could be good. Mm-hmm. That's all
I think it's going to go over. I think what we're going to see is another key positions push for bid.
Honestly, like this has been a problem in X-Wing where you get to the point where like I take a 15-point bid. That's a lot. That's a lot. It's almost half a ship. Do I give up all that stuff to make sure I can choose who moves first?
I don't give half a ship.
Got it. But that's the same thing that's going to happen in this, right? Like, that's a problem. There's been a lot of talk about how you fix that next wing. Like, do you pass priority? You can't do that in Legion.
Right.
Right. Because placement. Like, you can lose in placement next wing, but you can way lose in placement in Legion. Like, not even, I've learned that also by playing Jay. Like, mistakes have been made. My 1.4 cannon just. I'm like, all right, it goes, does nothing. All right, your turn, man. So that bid will come into play. And I don't like bid wars for stuff because then you cut, then it becomes identical, like, medalists. And then, like, well, do I give up something to make sure I go first?
Yeah, but you don't have to play that game.
You do if you're playing Rebels.
If you're playing Rebels,
just playing Rebels.
But not necessarily. I mean, there are successful lists now that don't play these two. You can just play Wonder Twins and not have to worry about it.
Correct, but we'll see how good these are. And if they're worth their points, then
if they just completely wreck the Wonder Twins, then that's a problem. Realistically, you could play this bidding war, or you could just not play this bidding war and just max out points and get the most efficient list you possibly can.
Yeah, I think they're going to be... I think capture the supplies, recover the supplies is going to be their strong suit and long march. I think that's where they're going to really, really do well. But I think outside of those two things, I don't know what else they're going to do.
Key positions or moisture evaporators, anything that actually has an objective on the board that you either have to defend or you have to heal or anything like that. First. Yeah. Anything that has an objective on the board that you have to get to and hold for some amount of time, I think they'll be good.
Yeah, I think that maybe. I think it comes in with terrain and I think their bread and butter though is recover the supplies. I think you want recover the supplies for sure.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think the bid war is going to come in, right? It's because you're going to take Jin, you're going to want recover the supplies in that third slot, and that's just how you're going to bid for it. But I think there's answers to it. So you just got to,
Yeah, we could come move into a world where recover the supplies becomes key positions, and it becomes too powerful as an objective because of these troopers.
Right, and then they errat it again, you know.
At least Key is like, recover the supplies, like, there's a certain location form where Key was just like, anywhere you want. Oh, I'm blue player, I get to place them both in my house, right? And you have to come into my house to get that. At least there's like if they put their gin down next to it, you're like, crap. Because she's going to take it and, you know, like, run off. Where like that denies my gin, but at least there's like, it's so bad. I was trying to think. I'm like trying to rationalize, like, if we had the same kind of list where we want to advance deploy, and you got the bid, then you put your gin next to it. I'm like, oh crap, you know, like, time to go all in on it and hope I get her.
And I'd like to say coming from an Empire side, I do not even with recover the supplies. Don't get freaked out there. It's not an end-all be-all.
Oh,
the Empire has plenty of answers. Good. It's just good. It gives them an advantage. Okay.
Yeah.
We have advantages too. And Death so, troopers. Yeah, I mean, our whole friggin' unit list is an advantage. So trust me, there's answers to it. You're not going to, you know, it's not going to be the end-all be-all. So don't get too freaked out about Jyn. Let's see what happens at Adepticon in the next few months. And then that'll kind of tell us where she lies. Because I think we, as a community, have a tendency when we see a new unit or a new thing come out to like freak out and be like, oh my god, this is the new big thing. It's
the new hotness.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy. And I just don't think it's gonna be that crazy.
But that's every game and every card.
Well, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
You're not a Rebel player anyway. So.
I don't care. My New Year's resolution is to play more Rebels, and I haven't done it once because screw them. Yeah, take that. What about, so was there anything else that you liked, Nick, besides their ability to jump in? Did you like any of the Pathfinder cards in particular?
I mean, as you bring up Overwatch, Overwatch is interesting.
The cards.
See, now the interesting thing is the gun that they come with, that option.
Yeah.
I don't think I would take that. I think range 1-3 with 2 white dice is better than this option of 1-4 with 1 white die and 1-2 with red dice.
I think you're just throwing that for suppression, though. You're not looking to kill.
Yes.
You're just looking to, like, keep them back. I mean, with him,
Powell.
This is definitely who I would take, because you have 1-4 with a red and a white die. That's awesome. The Inspire is interesting. I don't know how relevant that would be.
You keep
be.
It next to another Pathfinder who's ahead of
but
him.
But it's cool.
So you can kind
but of would like, you play 2 Pathfinders?
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't play 2 of him.
No, I'd play 2. Actually, the list I've got to try is him with the other one with Biston. I know he's a tap, but on that turn, you want that huge shot.
Mm-hmm.
He's a 1 tap that I see value in, because he not only kills vehicles, he'll kill infantry too.
But what I'm saying is, like, you can't play 2 of either of them.
No.
No.
They're both
no.
unique.
No, I get that, but I have 1 of each.
Yeah.
But
that's a lot of points.
It is, but so what I've been finding, again, people tell me wrong, like, the things you invest in the Rebels, like, it's worth investing in those high point units to me, like, mm-hmm. because they actually get some, they surge on attack and defense. You actually get some mileage out of them. I would totally run, like, both groups with 1 of each. I could be dumb. Like, I really don't know. I haven't played it yet, but I was building lists, and it fits my, I had that, like, 200 points. I'm like, what do I do? Because I hit my core troop quota. I don't really love the core troops for Rebels. I have my Han, Chewie. I'm like, what do I, because I was playing Leia, and then Leia has, she's all right. Like, Brains of Brown with Chewie's okay. You know, I'm like kind of bounced around on the builder. Then I'm like, you know what? Jyn, 2 troops in there too. And then the dream is with her card that gives teamwork to her. I give it to Chewie, then Chewie shares it to Han. So I give everybody like a name dodge if I want, which is super good. Like, I want my heroes to do work. Like, I want to play a hero army. And Rebels does that a little bit better than Empire does. Because normally Empire, you just get 1 guy, right? So with them, you put them up front and you just start the fight early. And then when your whole army gets there to back him up, you've got a line. Because normally what happens when I play Jay is he advances and I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, you
like,
can advance.
Yeah, like I'm like kind of held back. So it would be interesting to start it. I haven't played it yet. I have no data on it besides it looked good in the list builder.
We're going to find out this week.
Yeah, no, it's going to be an interesting couple weeks for me while I try those out. Because I bought 2 and dang it. I'm going to use 2, but if I really liked it, you just give each of the reconfigure 3 with Jyn, and then the rest of the army just fill it with cores.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's interesting, because you can start your whole army like over here, Mm-hmm. Right. And they have to deal with that. So you can pincer people in. That might be good too.
So the idea I have for a list, it's going to be Jin. She's going to have her pistol, of course.
Okay, yeah. Because
you have to take
it's
that.
It's free, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I won't go too in depth. One unit of Pathfinders without their gun, because I think 1-3 with 2 white dice is just way better. And you lose that if you pick up the gun. I had a conversation with Jay about that. It's like, because I didn't understand the rules. It's like, you lose your base gun if you take this gun? And he's like, yes. I'm like, yeah, then I'm not taking that. So one unit of Pathfinders, you're going to have 2 snipers.
Okay.
For sure. You're going to have some number of core units. And then I'm not sure if I would take Luke. I think for now I would definitely take Luke.
Okay.
Until Sabine comes out, because I really, really like Sabine. And we haven't even seen everything that she can do.
I like her because she looks more like an Imperial unit. Red dice at Surge. Okay.
Well, that, and she's the scalpel unit. She just gets around the board and she can support wherever it needs to be, which is something I feel like Rebels would need in this kind of list that I have in my head.
Okay.
And for now, Luke fits that role as best he can.
He's what, considered the best unit in the game still? I think per diem, just what he can do.
Luke,
overall,
yeah.
Yeah. With his cards too, he's nuts. He's still real great.
And I don't like the stand because you have to tap him. And like anything that has to tap,
I'm going to give it a shot. It hits enough dice that to throw at something that I might feel like it's worth it. Because the other tap guys are like 1 black and 2 white. Or like, and at least it's 1-4. And again, that 1-4 really, it's mm-hmm. one of the mm-hmm. 2 units in Rebels that does that. So it might put over the edge for me. I don't know. Again, I got to try it. Maybe it'll try it and I'll be like, oh, you're right, Nick. I'll shake your hand and buy you a soda.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be the first time.
No,
not so much the soda, but
no, it would not.
You're right.
But every once in a while I get one in there, so.
X-Wing. That's where you get one in there. Always.
It's the one thing I'm known for losing at. A folk legend, they call me.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to, yeah, I was thinking because it's, I believe it's the same. The reason I just to go back to what Nick was saying, that's not what I wanted to do. I believe because it's the same, the A300 blaster rifle, it's the same name as the upgrade. So you're upgrading your blaster rifle. That's why.
But it's also a reconfigure, so it also makes sense that you could have all 3.
Right. Yeah. I'm not sure. I thought it just was added another gun to the unit. That's what I assumed.
No, because it's, well, sort of, but it's the same name. So it's the short range config, the long range config of the A300.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I believe it replaces that. I don't think it's an added or it's like a choice. I don't know.
I think so too, because that sort of makes sense, but it's just like it would be much better if you could have all 3.
Right.
Yeah. And maybe, I might take that card if you could have all 3.
Yeah, maybe you can. Maybe I'm wrong. I need to look more into it. Well, no, I guess we'll know as soon as we get the packs.
It's
right?
worth it for the 1-4, I'm telling you. Like that's
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
But not to give up the 1-3.
Yeah. They're doing some interesting stuff like Boss can't shoot range 1. His gun's 2-4 or 2-3.
That's interesting.
He's got a melee, so
yeah, but he's gonna have grenades.
Yeah, he's gonna have something. But I mean, like, it's so to that point, like they're doing interesting things with ranges. Mm-hmm. So that could be a thing.
They're taking away / giving better options.
They're kind of it's kind of just different. So at first, I would have if Bossk didn't exist as an example, I would have been like, nah, man, there's whatever. But yeah, no, it's true. It could be again. Like I gotta look at the box. You know, the reconfig. There's gonna be a. In the rules reference that comes with it, there's
yeah.
gonna be like a ping, and you know, I'm sure we'll get a million messages that how it is, but at least that you know will give some clarification.
Yeah, we'll have to take a look. It's not clear to me right now, and I'm sure a
it's
bunch of people ping us and tell us.
Oh yeah, it's not out yet. Yeah, whatever.
You should have told me to pick these up on my way over here.
And that'll be we're doing it wrong next week.
Perfect, lined up.
But all right, I think we're gonna wrap up. Nick, thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, it was my pleasure. It was fun.
Your trial went okay.
Oh, yes.
I have some notes for you afterwards, and we'll talk about...
Always do.
We'll talk about your next tryout. Evan, how you doing? You all right?
Doing great.
All right. You're not being replaced. Don't worry about it, buddy.
He was only temporary anyway.
I knew it was happening someday. Finally taking a swing at your old man.
But all right, that's going to wrap it up. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Everyone, stay rad.
Take it easy.
Join us next week for another edition of the Fifth Trooper Podcast.
This has been a Fifth Trooper production.